Millions of people are investing in the stock market blindly. Are you one of them? Do you feel like your investment plan is a lost cause and too confusing? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card will help you. Go to etfguide.com and find out if your current investment mix passes or flunks. Ron DeLegge will help you to identify and correct any weaknesses in your IRA, 401k plan, or regular investment account. Go to etfguide.com to get your free Portfolio Report Card.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. Coming up on today's show, don't let the great yield slide punch you in the nose. Also coming up, what does a professional gambler's investment portfolio look like? I've always wondered that, and we're going to take a look at a professional gambler's investment portfolio, a listener of this show. Yes, we've got gamblers tuning in to the Index Investing Show. Also coming up, Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETF Guide, will be joining us. He is one of the what I would consider fewer than 25 world-class market technicians roaming North America. And you're going to hear from him on today's show. We're going to talk about the S&P 500 going, what is it? I've lost count. More than 40 days without a 1% change, daily change, either up or down. That is the longest streak, second longest streak in 15 years. We're going to talk about what it means. We'll also get into gold, the VIX, long-term U.S. Treasuries. If you'd like to join us, we're here, 877-711-5611. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can email me, ron@indexshow.com. So let's get right to it, beginning with don't let the great yield slide punch you in the nose. What are we talking about? Well, at the beginning of the year, the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries was just shy of 3% and appeared ready for takeoff into the stratosphere. At last, the long-awaited period of runaway interest rates had arrived. But then something weird happened. U.S. Treasury yields, like a schizophrenic mad scientist straight out of the movies, suddenly reversed course and have since fallen around 14 or 15%. Is this an isolated trend? Actually, the great yield slide is happening globally. Italy and Spain, countries that were recently on the brink of defaulting on their debt, have experienced sliding yields also and now pay just 6 to 20 basis points higher versus similar maturing U.S. debt. What's good for borrowers isn't necessarily good for creditors, said nobody. But here is that this has not been a good trend for bond investors. And actually, if we calculate it and look at it in terms of actual loss of income because of falling yields, if we use the 31% fall in 10-year U.S. Treasury yields over the past 5 years as a gauge, and I think it's a pretty good gauge, it serves as a rough approximation of the 30% income blow or loss that bond investors have taken. So what is the solution? What is the solution for bond investors? Well, a continuation of low interest rates beyond the Fed's arbitrary timeline of rate hikes. It will happen quietly and may catch many by surprise. It will also continue to bash income investors like all the times before, and this is key. Income investors that use conventional income and conventional dividend strategies during these most unconventional times. Let me repeat that because that's pretty important. Income investors will get bashed. Those who use conventional income and conventional dividend strategies during these most unconventional times. On the other hand, persistently low rates is an ideal environment for those that are ready. Those that are prepared and those that have been using unconventional income dividend strategies, Take, for example, my monthly ETF income trade. We sell covered calls every single month. Very conservative strategy. Just one example of many unconventional income and dividend generating strategies in these most unconventional times. And my next trade for July has already happened. If you'd like to find out the details, just go to etfguide.com and learn all about what our latest monthly income trade. Now, the one for June generated $1,200 of monthly income. If you want to find out what we did for July, go to etfguide.com and sign up for the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. I want to get into some of your portfolios on today's show. One of them came to me from a gentleman by the name of David in Los Angeles. David is a professional gambler, and I've always wondered privately what a professional gambler's investment portfolio would look like. Would it be broadly diversified, a portfolio of penny stocks? Would it be a broadly diversified portfolio of marijuana stocks with a Kenny Rogers box set and a shot of whiskey to boot? Or perhaps it would contain none of those worldly possessions. How would a gambler invest his or her money? So I'm going to share with you on today's program how one professional gambler's investment portfolio looks like. He's a poker player. So we're going to get into that. I'm sure that you'll be looking forward to that. 877-711-5611. That's the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can follow us. Tweet us 24/7. Let's get you caught up on where some of the key market indexes stand so far in 2014. We are halfway through the year. That means look, see, and compare your own portfolio's performance versus some of these major benchmarks. Is your portfolio keeping up or is it lagging? Well, if it's lagging these performance numbers that I'm about to read to you, that I'm about to give to you, it's time to go on a seek and destroy mission. Find out what's wrong with your investment portfolio and seek and destroy the thing that is holding you back. Maybe it's fees. Maybe it's underperforming mutual funds. Maybe it's lousy stock picks. Maybe it's excessive trading. Maybe it's the wrong asset allocation. It could be this or any number of things. Now, if you're too lazy to look at your portfolio, or you don't feel comfortable with embarking upon this exercise, you can always take Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Just go to etfguide.com and click on my picture, and I will tell you exactly what ails your investment portfolio. I will also tell you the strengths of your portfolio, not just the weaknesses, but I will grade your investment portfolio as I've graded many investment portfolios right on this show and this weekly broadcast. So A, B, C, D, or F, does your investment portfolio pass or flunk Ron DeLegge's portfolio report card? Well, I look at all the important areas, the only areas that really matter to your portfolio: cost, taxes, risk, diversification, and performance. Those are the only five things that matter. And if your portfolio gets an A, guess what? I pay you $100. Now, we don't get many A's. It's been quite some time since we've had an A on a portfolio report card. But if you get one, again, I will pay you $100. That's my challenge to you. Get in touch with me again. Go to etfguide.com and click on my portfolio report card and see if you pass the grade. So, taking a look at the S&P 500 since the beginning of the year, up 5.5%, which signifies that the U.S. stock market, by that measure, is doing well. Small cap stocks have recently turned up. Now, early in the year, you recall that they were lagging. Russell Small Cap 2000 ETF, IWM, now ahead by almost 1.5%. So this would be a good sign if small caps can continue to add to their gains. Taking a look at international stocks, VEA, international stocks from developed countries like Japan, the United Kingdom, Australia, ahead by 2.7%. Emerging market stocks up 5.4%. Gold ahead by that same amount. Bonds, ticker symbol BND, which tracks U.S. bond market ahead by 2%. And some of the industry sectors that are just sizzling because of the low interest rate environment. REITs, ticker symbol VNQ, up 15%. And utilities, boring utilities, XLU, ahead by almost 13%. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. More when we return. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. 877-711-5611. That's a number. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, investment theme, we can do that. If you'd like to tweet the program, you can shout me out at Index Show. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can also email the program, ron@indexshow.com. Just want to share with you a quick ETF. Actually, this was featured in our weekly ETF picks at etfguide.com, which is available to subscribers. We featured this particular trade, this particular theme, this particular idea on June 4th, and it was, again, in the weekly ETF picks at ETF Guide, only available to subscribers. And I just want to share this one with you because it has turned out to be just an absolute bonanza. We featured ticker symbol GDX, which tracks the gold miner sector. And, of course, gold miners very closely linked to the performance of gold itself. We've seen a little bit of a taper off in the price of gold over the past several months. Nevertheless, gold is still ahead on a year-to-date basis, ticker symbol GLD, just over 5%. But we've seen a recent pickup in the price of gold and also gold miners. But we issued this particular ETF weekly pick, a buy alert, even before gold miners started to take off. This is when they were still in the doldrums. So let me read it to you. Quote, although the Market Vectors Gold Miners ETF GDX has performed about twice as bad as gold itself over the past 3 months, this, again, was posted to subscribers only on June 4th. We're buying GDX shares at around $22.25 a share. Our tandem option trade is to buy the GDX July 2014 22 calls at $100 a contract. End of quote. So that was part of the research I just quoted you there that was offered up on GDX. So how has that turned out? Well, so far it's been just an absolute bonanza. That's been a great, great trade. GDX call options up 150%. 150% in just a matter of 2.5 weeks. And then GDX itself, we bought in, according to the research, at $22.25 a share. GDX now up to around $24.40 a share. So we're continuing to see really, really nice price action in this particular ETF. Those are the types of ideas and trades that we offer at etfguide.com when you sign up to my monthly ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. Not only do you get the monthly newsletter, but you also get the weekly picks. Now, in terms of sector performance, aside from hot performing gold mining stocks, ticker symbol GDX, which we just mentioned, you've also got some of these rate sensitive sectors like REITs, also known as real estate investment trusts, and utilities, absolutely on fire. And this is the type of environment where they thrive. A period of low volatility, a period of low rates, and XLU, which tracks utilities, ahead by almost 13%, easily outperforming the S&P 500's year-to-date gain of 5.5%. And then the other sector, REITs, ahead by 15%, VNQ, not only are income investors gaining on their holdings with the capital gains here, but also they're getting some nice dividends that add to that nice performance. And as I mentioned in the previous segment, second quarter dividends will be paid out very shortly. So be ready, you income investors. That's another theme we've been playing at ETF Guide has been utilities, XLU. So that's been a very good area, and we continue to own that particular ETF, which has been delivering not just delicious returns, but also dividends higher than what you would get with the S&P 500. So what does a professional gambler's investment portfolio look like? Yeah, I've always wondered that, and I got my chance to see what an actual professional gambler's investment portfolio, how it smells. A few weeks ago, I was contacted by a professional poker player from Los Angeles who asked me to examine and grade his investment portfolio. So he was listening to this very program that you're listening to, and he heard me evaluating and grading another listener's investment portfolio on the air. So he said, well, I want you to do that for me. So let me give you a breakdown of what this particular poker player's portfolio looked like. He had $60,000 from an IRA that was rolled over from a 401k plan. And he had another $90,000 invested in a self-directed taxable brokerage account for a total value of $150,000. This gentleman, by the way, is in his early 40s. So he's got a $60,000 IRA and a $90,000 self-directed taxable brokerage account. Total value, $150,000. Now, the money for both accounts was evenly divided across seven stocks. Those seven stocks, Google, Bank of America, Celgene, EOG Resources, General Motors, General Mills, and Whole Foods. And then in that portfolio, a very small percentage of exposure to cash. So one of the philosophies that I try to instill in all of my listeners is to prioritize their investments. What do I mean by that? Well, a person's core investment portfolio or investment foundation always comes first and should always obtain the lowest cost market exposure in the broadest sense. In other words, to all the major asset classes by using efficient vehicles, preferably ETFs. So that's the priority. The priority, again, obtain the lowest cost market exposure to all the major asset classes by using efficient vehicles, preferably ETFs. Now, after you've completed that step number one, you can graduate to step number two and focus on building out your non-core investment portfolio, which is complementary to your core. So you can think of the non-core portfolio as something that's strategic and something that can, for example, hold things like leveraged or inverse ETFs or individual stocks or options or futures and other assets not held within the core portfolio. So that's the purpose of the non-core portfolio, is to supplement or complement the core. So one of the problems with my gambler friend's portfolio is that he's tackled step two before properly executing step one. He's built out his non-core portfolio without first even starting to build the core. Think of it this way, and I don't think you need to be in the construction business to understand this. Think about trying to build the second floor of an architectural masterpiece without first completing the foundation. It's an absolutely backwards way to build or construct a building, and it's the same way with investing. If you're going to try to build the second floor of your investment house without first building the foundation, it's not a very solid way. It's not a very logical way to be investing. And so that's what we have here with this particular professional gambler's portfolio of seven stocks evenly divided across these various sectors. So you got Google, Bank of America, Celgene, EOG Resources, General Motors, General Mills, Whole Foods. The other problem with this seven stock portfolio deals with something that all gamblers and investors should know. And I'm going to share that with you in the next segment. Coming up next, Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com. We're talking VIX. We're talking volatility. We're talking S&P 500. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFGuide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFGuide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFGuide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
There are fewer than 25 world-class market technicians roaming North America, and you're in for a treat because one of them is with us, Chad Carnes. He's the Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com. He is a certified market technician, and he is on our broadcast, and we're glad to have him with us. Chad, welcome to the Index Investing Show. Always great to catch up with you.
Hey, Ron. Thanks for having me back.
Let's talk about the S&P 500, which has gone 42 days without a 1% daily change in either direction. That's the second longest streak in 15 years, and really a testament to the ultra-low volatility environment that the stock market's currently in. So my question, is this the new normal of permanently low volatility in stocks, or is it the quiet before the storm?
Wow. So did you say 42 days without a 1% daily change? That's just incredible.
It is.
You know, these kinds of ratios and stats, you know, frankly, they're not surprising me anymore, because whether it's this or the percent that the market is above its 200-day moving average, or the time it's been since a 20% market pullback, or even the number of days the market has spent above its 150-day moving average. You know, frankly, all these stats, they just keep breaking records, and it just seems like we are at some sort of extreme here. So to answer your question, you know, I think it is. I think it is the calm before the storm. And the reason is that if there's one thing that we can count on in the stock market or pretty much in any market, is that they are cyclical. You know, they tend to mean revert. And, you know, right now, I think that what that means is the low VIX and the low volatility, it won't last forever. And that's something that we can count on. Adding to that statistic, you know, something I recently looked at with my subscribers is that the month of June, the average day's trading range, which is, you know, similar to what you mentioned, which we haven't had a 1% change in the market, but the average daily trading range is not talking about the close, but actually the high to the low of the day. That has only been 0.5% in the month of June. Now, you compare that to 2014 and the average daily range has been 0.9%, which right now June is roughly half the daily trading range of all of 2014, showing just what kind of low volatility we have. If you back that up and you look all the way back to the year 2000, the average is more like 1.4%. And so now we're looking at June at 65% lower volatility than all of the year 2000. So I think it does mean that this is the calm before the storm. And if you believe in mean reversion and you believe that the markets are cyclical and that they move both up and down, then I would be worried if I was a bull at this point based on these statistics, not excited about the low volatility.
Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com, joining us. He does a technical forecast twice a week, covers all the major asset classes from stocks to bonds to gold and even currencies. Now, you wrote an outstanding article at ETF Guide about how the European Central Bank's latest move which is basically aping the aggressive monetary policies of the Federal Reserve along with the Bank of Japan, about why that could be bearish for the euro currency. Tell us more.
Yeah, so to believe that the ECB's policies are actually affecting the euro as they want them to, it means you're pretty much living in a fantasy world. That's the way I see it, because in reality, the ECB policy meetings, five of the last six announcements that they've had, have actually sent the euro stronger or higher. So in other words, the market is doing exactly opposite of what the ECB wanted or is implied by their inflationary announcements. The technicals, however, and the charts, they've been and continue to drive the euro's price. That article that you referenced, it can be found on our homepage at etfguide.com, and it includes some charts showing that the euro actually topped way back in 2008, and all the rallies that have occurred since, they've been counter-trend, including the recent strengthening that has occurred since 2012. I think the uptrend is now done, and I think the longer-term technical trend of a lower euro is taking over. You know, even worse, on a shorter-term basis, this recent announcement, which was June 5th, last Thursday, the euro couldn't even get back above its 200-day moving average. It had a strong day and a strong rally on the announcement, which we expected, but the 200-day moving average stopped the euro in its tracks, and it hasn't looked back and has continued to fall since then. So I think even on a short-term basis, the euro is showing significant weakness, and I think over the next couple of weeks, you're going to get some good opportunities to short the euro, which is something that we're going to be following in our technical forecast, looking for some good entries on shorting the euro.
Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com, joining us. Long-term U.S. Treasury ETFs have been outstanding year-to-date performers and even beating the hot performance of U.S. stocks, but you recently turned bearish. So what do you see ahead for long-term U.S. Treasuries?
Yeah, again, I think this is an example of why the Fed and central banks don't control the markets. As yields, U.S. Treasury yields, they actually bottomed back in 2012. When the 30-year Treasury hit as low as 2.5%, today it's up to around 3.5%. And since then, you know, even though the Fed had QE and all of its intervention, you know, yields have even, you know, risen. I mentioned from 2.5 to 3.5, but they hit almost as high as 4% earlier in late 2013. Even last summer, someone asked Bernanke about this rise in yields, and he said that they, meaning the Fed, were, and I quote, perplexed. And that just goes to show that even the central bank doesn't know what's necessarily going on with Treasury yields. And I think similar to the euro, on an outlook basis, the bond prices, they have short-term rallied, like you said, year-to-date. But again, they are also in a longer-term downtrend. And I think this recent rally was just another counter-trend move higher. Since 2012, when bond prices popped, charts show that the recent rally in bonds, they've reached key technical resistance points. And you couple that along with sentiment measures that we watch at ETFGuide.com, and I think you've got a recipe for a sizable bond top here and a rise in yields down the road.
Gold and gold mining stocks got off to a really good start in early 2014. We saw some of those leveraged gold ETFs, the bullish ones, taking off. But sentiment or market mood towards precious metals over the past few months has been very negative. We've seen a little bit of a retracement in precious metal prices. So what's going on in this particular market?
Yeah, you know, I think the gold bugs are finally realizing that gold and silver are a major downtrend. You know, one of the things I'm watching, and I've shown in our research, is that is the gold to silver ratio. And so what I mean by that is I'm just taking the price of gold, and in this case I'm using the ETF GLD, and I'm dividing it by the price of silver and its ETF SLV, and I'm looking at that trend through time, the trend between the price of gold and the price of silver through time. When this ratio is rising, so when the gold to silver ratio is rising, typically the metals are declining in price. And one of the reasons for that is that silver is falling faster than gold, taking that ratio higher. I also have an article on our website at etfguide.com that you can find on gold that shows these charts in action, and it helps put this in perspective and give a little more clarity. But generally, when silver is falling faster than gold, the precious metals are in a bearish trend. And that means that when the gold to silver ratio is rising, the precious metals are in a bearish trend. And this ratio has been rising since the metals topped back in 2011. So that's something I'm watching very closely to see a change in that trend to warn of a sizable or tradable bottom in the precious metals. Right now, I don't see it. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't take advantage of gold and silver on a short-term basis. That's something that we did in December when we saw a similar setup in the gold to silver ratio combined with some technicals as well as similar sentiment as you suggested. Now, when we were able to get long some gold call options, which got our subscribers some hefty 60% plus gains back in December, and I'm seeing something similar right now. I think it might be a little late to the party now. I think the time to do that was a couple weeks ago, just because I don't think the upside is there, because as I mentioned, I think that we're still in a longer-term bearish trend in gold and silver prices.
And also another reason why you really, and you do a great job at not just watching prices, but also paying attention to sentiment and the market's mood, because typically when it gets extreme in either direction, bullish or bearish, when you see extremes, it usually means that some type of turning point is ahead. We're here with Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuy.com. He does the technical forecast, runs it twice a week, covers all the major asset classes from gold to currencies to stocks to bonds, does an outstanding job. Now, back in November, we had you on the program, Chad, and you talked about some of the flaws in the Dow that were hidden from plain sight and the problems facing the Dow committee, and adding in particular three stocks that they added at the end of last year. They dropped Alcoa, they dropped Bank of America, and they dropped Hewlett Packard. Can you give us an update about what's going on with the Dow?
Yeah, so let's just put it this way. Since the Dow committee dropped those three companies, Bank of America, Hewlett Packard, and Alcoa, Bank of America is now up 10%. Alcoa is up a whopping 80%, and Hewlett-Packard is up over 40%. Combined, these three companies are up, if you equate them, around 40% since September. Now, compare that to Visa, Goldman, and Nike, which are the three companies that the Dow replaced Bank of America, Alcoa, and HP with. Those three companies combined are only up around 15% since September. So The companies that the Dow committee decided to drop have almost tripled the performance of the three companies that the Dow committee added to the index. And, this is something that we kind of expected and something that we talked about. I mentioned it on the previous radio show I was on with you, as well as in our ETF profit strategy newsletter from October. I did a big, detailed analysis of the Dow committee's history and just how horrible they are at picking stocks. And, ultimately what it comes down to is they fall victim to one of the oldest, problems with investing. They tend to chase track records. And so, Visa, Goldman, and Nike all performed very well leading up to September of last year. And, since they've been added to the Dow, though, they are not. And it just goes to show that even the Dow committee, they don't know what they're doing.
Is it fair to say maybe we should come up with an anti-Dow committee index? Seems to me like we might have something there. I mean, you want to talk about contrarian indicators that work. This might be a new one.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, and if you look at some of the analysis we did in our October newsletter, you can see we go back to the 90s and we show, what changes have been made to the Dow and what stocks were added and their performance after they were added. And it's not a good record. And I think you would have come out, significantly ahead if you would have either, shorted those stocks that they added and or just held on to the ones that they got rid of.
Well, great ideas and great interview. Go to ETFGuy.com and follow Chad Carnes and his technical forecast, which happens twice a week. I'm Ron DeLegge. You're listening to the Index Investing Show, and I'll be right back. Go nowhere!
Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
Well, you just heard from one of the top market technicians roaming North America, Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuy.com. We talked about a lot of things, the S&P 500 and its lack of volatility and what that means for the market. Really, I asked him very plainly, very simply, is this the new normal of permanently low volatility in stocks, or is it the quiet before the storm? And what do you think he answered? Well, it's the quiet before the storm. So as Chad mentioned there, and as I've said to listeners many times on this broadcast, now is the time to prepare for higher volatility in the market. Not when it strikes, not when it hits suddenly. And it will hit suddenly. There will be a spike in volatility. But for now, there hasn't been, but this is the time you prepare for it. And there are many ways you can prepare for it. Having some cash in your portfolio to cushion against higher volatility. Also, on last week's show, we had Andy O'Rourke of Direction Investments with us, ticker symbol VSPY, one of the ETFs we talked about that allows you to have exposure to stocks, but that also has a mechanism within the ETF that increases cash exposure when the market gets more volatile. So it's kind of an automatic adjustment to stock prices, or actually exposure to stocks as stock prices get more volatile. So take a look at that particular ETF, ticker symbol VSPY. And to read Chad's biweekly technical updates, just go to etfguide.com and click on the newsletter, subscribe, and you will not be disappointed. He does an outstanding job with those technical forecasts. And he does cover all the major asset classes, not just stocks and bonds, but also currencies and also gold. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. My Twitter handle, @IndexShow. My email address, ron@indexshow.com. Some articles to read at etfguide.com. Should you be 100% invested in stocks? Dow hits key milestone despite slowing growth. And is gold ready to bounce? So those are some articles that you should check out, again, at etfguide.com. Now, we were talking earlier about a couple of things. Number one, what does a professional gambler's investment portfolio look like? And I recently was contacted by a professional poker player from Los Angeles who asked me to examine and grade his investment portfolio. He was listening to the show. And he's got $150,000 total value in his investment account. That's divvied up between an IRA and a $90,000 self-directed taxable brokerage account. Now, this money is evenly divided across 7 stocks. And we mentioned those stocks: Google, Bank of America, Celgene, EOG, Resources, General Motors, General Mills, and then Whole Foods. And one of the problems is he's built his non-core portfolio before he's even begun with the core. And of course, the core, the foundation, always comes first. The core should always have low-cost market exposure to all the major asset classes. In this case, he's not done that. He has no exposure to anything but stocks and individual stocks, U.S.-based stocks. He's got no exposure to international stocks, emerging market stocks, no exposure to bonds, no exposure to commodities, very little exposure to cash, no exposure to real estate. I mean, it's a very, very ill-planned investment portfolio. It's a non-core portfolio, which he's embarked upon building first. And the thing is, it should be the absolute reverse. The reverse, which is you begin with the foundation, and then you can begin with the, after you've taken care of that priority of foundation, then you can begin to construct the non-core portfolio or the non-foundational portfolio. Now, the other problem with this 7-stock portfolio deals with something that I think all gamblers and investors should know, especially a professional poker player. And that deals with a thing known as pure odds. What are the odds that this particular gambler's stock portfolio, built by an amateur, will outperform a simple index fund or ETF? What are the odds of that? Well, the odds are not very good. And I know that, we know that, because we don't have to look any further than the subpar performance of the pros. Now, A recent five-year study examining the performance of professional stock pickers found that the yardstick, and the yardstick was the S&P 500 for the large cap stock pickers, outperformed their mutual funds. The yardstick outperformed 72% of the time. That's across S&P indexes linked to large, mid, and small company stocks. Put another way, people that put their money in index funds or index ETFs, tracking those three market segments, large and mid and small company stocks, had 3-to-1 odds in their favor. Isn't that incredible? 3-to-1 odds in favor of the index investor. And actually, my colleague and friend Rick Ferry wrote an excellent article at Forbes titled 3-to-1 Odds Favor Index Investors. And I've got a link to that on our Twitter account and also at etfguide.com. So who of us wants to try to bet against the market when the odds clearly are not in our favor? So this is all about putting the odds of in our favor through indexing. Winning the investment game is about increasing your odds of success. And that's why, and that's what building a portfolio on a solid foundation of index ETFs helps you to accomplish, because the math does not lie. So my final grade for this particular portfolio, this gambler's portfolio, 7-stock portfolio, is incomplete. Why? Because it lacks at least 1 year of performance history. That's something I wasn't able to get from David in Los Angeles. He didn't know what his value was the previous year. So I can't complete the grade unless I know what the value of your investment account was for the previous year. So it's doubtful, though, looking into the future, that this 7-stock portfolio will outperform stock indexes over the next year, let alone several years. For sure, it definitely flunks my grade on risk and diversification. So what's wrong with your investment portfolio? What about you? Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card will tell you the strengths and the weaknesses. Is your portfolio well enough or built well enough to score an A? If it is, and that's a heck of a good, great grade, an A, Ron will pay you $100. Just go to etfguide.com, click on my picture to get your free portfolio report card. 877-711-5611 is the number. This is the Index Investing Show. Please join us. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you ever miss our regular radio broadcast for whatever reason, you can pick up our free podcast. Just check out the Index Investing Show at iTunes. Rate the program while you're there. Give us a review. Give us some stars. Show us some love. You can also listen to the program on Stitcher. And indexshow.com/podcast is another way you can listen to the show. If you can't find us, it's your own fault, because we're available everywhere. So take a look, take a gander at my July ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, which has just been released. And in there, you will see my monthly income trade for July. I know a lot of our listeners are scrambling for more income. We already talked earlier in the show about the great yield slide of 2014 and how Treasury yields, 10-year yields, 30-year yields have continued to slide lower. And of course, you know, bond prices have gone up because of the fact that there's a inverse relationship, right? We know that when bond yields go down, bond prices go up. But that's not why bond investors are buying bonds. They want more yield. They want more income. Forget about a capital gain in bonds. That's not why they're investing in bonds. They want income. So fixed income investors have been really hurt. And this is not just a phenomenon that's happened in 2014. It's actually a five-year phenomenon. We've seen a 30% fall in U.S. Treasury yields. So what's the solution? The solution is to use unconventional income and dividend strategies during these unconventional times. Remember that? You can check out my July monthly income trade at etfguide.com. And that just about does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Thanks again for joining us. And until we meet again, May the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.